You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. Are we online, Lisa? We are. Okay. Well, it's good. Thank you for joining us, and we are going to begin our service by singing "Thank You, Lord." So please stand. And if you're at home and you want to stand, go right ahead. And we will worship together. Thank you, Lord. We'll wait for a few words here before we get started, but I know. Well, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. I know we sure did.
I lost my bass.
Is your bass gone? Catrice's bass is gone. Now it's back. Thank you. All set. Begin with a few announcements this morning, starting with birthdays. Today we have Ty Vig's birthday on the 29th, and Mark Ingeman. I went on Facebook and found that one. And also Carol Davidson, and Carol listens every Sunday. And Carol, thank you for being here again today, and for listening, and for worshiping with us, and happy birthday. Also, we have Madison Husker, right, tomorrow? Yeah. Madison Husker tomorrow, and then we have Jody Peterson on December 2nd and Nikki Thompson on the 5th. So are there any birthdays that I might have missed? I want to make sure. Ashley Corner, that's right. Sorry, daughter. Ashley Corner, boy, you can text me after church. Good thing I left my phone shut off. Yeah, it's our daughter's birthday, our favorite daughter. My favorite daughter. She's my favorite daughter. Did I tell you that? I'm trying to dig myself out of a hole. Okay, Sunday School Christmas program will be held during the worship service on December 20th, so please mark your calendars and come if you can, or if not, join us online. Also, we have a Christmas Eve service that is going to be held on Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock, so write that down, mark your calendars for that. And then also in the back, you'll see the lights in the back on the tree, and that is our holiday helper tree. And take a tag. The way they do it is if you turn it over, you flip it over on the backside, it tells you if it's a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl, and it tells you their age. And then you go out and buy the presents. I think they have recommendations or suggestions. And then you can bring the gift in and put it under the tree. And we will distribute those. Great, great ministry. Also, there is a parade of lights, I found out yesterday. We will be doing a parade of lights in town, and I haven't heard back if I talked to the Coles, who usually do our float for the church, and hopefully I can hear back from them. But of course, we can't throw any candy. Not supposed to get out of your vehicles. So, but we're going to do the parade anyway, and we're going to celebrate. Maybe we'll just drive around like 6 times. I don't know, but make it worthwhile. But we're going to do the parade. There won't be any barrels out in the street to warm yourself. So, but we're still going to do the parade, right? And we're going to celebrate our Lord and Savior's birth. So, any other announcements this morning before we go on? Okay, I think we're doing good then. Then I'm going to ask Ray and Catrice to come up and... they're going to sing for us, and they talked me into singing with them today. But a song that has very, very much been on our heart. We've been listening to it a lot. Julie and I have Loving My Jesus. And this would be the time that you would send in prayer requests. If you have any prayer requests, also a time to do offerings. So wherever you are at listening, give to your local church and support that ministry. And I would just encourage you to keep everything going, of course. Ministry is so important at a time like this and every time. Loving My Jesus.
I was a wandering soul, traveling a well-worn road, a sinner so far from home, no second chance. Inside I heard you call my name. I felt you lift my shame, and I made a vow that day that I'd spend the rest of my life loving my Jesus, showing my telling my story of how mercy can reach you where you are. And I pray the whole world hears the cry of my heart.
To see all the ones I love loving my Jesus.
Change that chord. Oh, I had a bad chord, sorry.
Can we switch to this one? We have to. Can't miss these words. There you go. I think we got to start over. Let's go to the beginning. That one's not on. Must be the mic stand.
Maybe it's me.
I don't think so.
Check one. Am I there? Yay. We'll try again.
Listen closely to the words. There's a reason that we had to start over. God's got this.
I was a wandering soul, traveling a well-worn road, a sinner so far from home, no second chance. Inside I heard you call my name, I felt you lift my shame, and I made a vow that day that I'd spend the rest of my life loving my Jesus, showing my scars, telling my story. Tries to make you high, whispers that same old lie, keep all your pain inside, cause no one will understand. The last thing this lost world needs is someone I'm trying to be, the truth that has set me is that I'm just a broken soul, loving my Jesus, showing my scars, telling my story how mercy can reach you where you are. And I pray the whole world hears the cry of stand face to face with the one who gave it all for me. May all I have to show be all that mattered most, making your great name known. Let this be my only legacy, loving my Jesus, showing my scars, telling my story of how mercy can reach you where you are. And I pray the whole world hears the cry.
and Denise, if you'd come up and do scripture and prayer for us, please.
Good morning. Scripture today is Proverbs 15, 1 through 9. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. The house of the righteous contain great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings ruin. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the heart of the fools are not upright. The Lord detests the sacrifices of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. So, are there any prayer requests today? Mary?
Carrie Whaling's dad is not doing well at all. So.
Do you know his name?
Can't remember.
I don't know either. Scott? Rhonda, Pat, and Donovan? Did you say Donovan?
Rhonda, Pat, and Brent Hogstead.
Brent Hogstead, okay.
And then Eileen for health issues.
Eileen for health issues. Okay, Peggy? Okay. Faye?
For Josh and Rebecca and family.
Is Jamie? Does Jamie have it too?
Dustin.
I saw Hope. Okay.
And also for Zoe, as he just started his treatment program down in St. Cloud at MCF. And also then for Jamie, she only has a month left before baby is due. And all those that are feeling lonely and everything that can't be get visited.
Julie, did you have one? Curtis?
Yes, our daughter goes for another cancer treatment Tuesday. And so also we're going to see a neurosurgeon in Fargo Thursday about all her low back pain.
Okay. Jesse? I thought I saw another hand out there. Oh, yep. Lisa's waving. Galen?
Margaret Swenson.
Yep. Anybody else that I'm missing? Tammy?
For Kendra Jackson.
Kendra?
She gave birth 6 weeks early because of toxemia. And she has a very, very small baby, and she's still very sick.
Okay. Kendra was her name? Okay. Was there another hand back there? No? Okay, that's it. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for today, for another day that you woke us up and gave us breath. God, we just pray, Lord, that you use us for your will. Help us to turn to you and follow you, and help us to be a light in this dark world, God. So many prayer requests today, Lord. We just ask that you pray for the Horton family. The father passed away, God. We just pray that you be near to them. You just comfort them in this time and in this season of their life. We also pray for Carrie Whaling's dad, Lord. We just pray, God, that you heal him. We pray, God, that you just make yourself known to them. We pray, God, that you just help him to turn to you and the whole family, God. We also pray for Rhonda, Pat, and Brent Hogstead, Lord. We just pray, God, that you really speak into their life. We pray that you just protect them and guide them. And we also pray for Eileen with her health issues, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just heal her body. Just breathe new life into her, God. We pray for Allard Reddington, Lord. We just pray also for his health issues, God. We just pray that you come beside him and help heal whatever is ailing. God, we just pray that you too breathe life into him, God. We pray for the Itons who had to suddenly leave and go be with family, God. We pray that you keep them healthy. We pray, God, for safe travels for them. And we also pray for Hope as she's tending to these farms, God. We pray you give her the strength to do it and the wisdom to keep on going, God. We also pray for Zoe as he starts his new treatment. God, we just really ask that you speak to him. We pray, God, that this is where he needs to be in order for him to turn back to you, God. We thank you for his life, and we just pray, God, that you just continue to work in his life. We also pray for Janie as she has 1 month left of this baby. God, we pray that you keep her healthy. We pray that you keep the baby healthy. We pray that you just send this baby whenever it's ready. We just thank you so much, too, for her life. And God, we just ask that you also work in her life and that you're just really, you'll be real to her, God. We pray for Jared as he has many decisions to make, God. We know that he seeks your will. We just really pray that you just make it known what he needs to do, God. We just pray that you just put the right decision in his mind and have him stick to it. Pray, God, for Claudia as she goes for her appointment on Tuesday. We pray for safe travels, God, and we pray for just the right doctors to be at that appointment and the right decisions to be made there, God. We thank you for just for her willingness to keep fighting, God. She's a fighter, and we just pray, God, that you just help heal her, Lord. And we also thank you for Curtis and his faithfulness. We pray for Jim Terson as he had fallen. God, we pray for his spirit, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just help him to fight this depression. It's hard for many people this time without being able to have visitors. God, we just pray that he just really turns to you more and finds peace in this time. We pray for all those struggling with COVID. I know there's more on this list, but God, we just pray for Terry Kent and Roy Stewart, Sheldon Carlson and Margaret Swenson, and Josh and Rebecca, Dustin, and the many others that, God, that are dealing with this illness. God, we know it's real, and we know it affects people differently. But God, we just ask that you just take this virus away and that you just heal these people. And God, we just pray that they cling to your word during this time and trust that you will restore them back to health. We also pray for Kendra Johnson, who has given birth early to her baby, God. We pray, Lord, that this baby will just be strong and be a fighter. We pray, God, that you just bring the right doctors and nurses around to protect this baby and to make it as strong, healthy, and also for Kendra, Lord, that you will just help heal her and give her a peace about her new baby, God. We just thank you, God, for life. We thank you, Lord, for being able to be here to worship you. We pray that you please send your Holy Spirit to speak in our lives and to speak in this church service. And we pray as we leave here that we will continue to be a light for you and to work in the communities and in the world around us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Denise. Okay, we're going to continue our time of worship, so please stand and we're going to continue our time with singing. And the song is My Savior, My God. Let's sing it out. Y'all set? Yep. Let's sing this.
Skill to understand, but God.
everlasting God. Let's sing it out.
Oh, children. We just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to encourage us and lift us up, Lord, and just open our hearts and minds to your word, Lord, and the directions that you have for each one of us. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to show love to those around us. Help us to have you shine through us, Lord. And we just thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Let's start with a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, God. We pray that you'd guide us, that you would lead us into your word now. God, that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to know what it means to pursue you, to chase after righteousness, to become who you want us to be. Open our hearts, open our minds, and help us to hear from you today. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a couple thoughts as I was preparing my sermon. This is actually part 8 of our 6-part series in community and unity, what it means to be the church. And today, as Denise read earlier, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. That's Proverbs 15:9. As I thought about things that I've pursued in my life when I was younger, I remember I wanted a bicycle really badly, and at the time I just didn't feel like I could. That's something I would even dare ask for, being from such a large family. And I thought, so I went to our junkyard, our junk pile that was behind the garage. For those of you that are in my family, you know where I'm talking about. I found about, oh gosh, probably 6 or 7 or more different bicycles, and I thought, okay, I'm going to build one. That's all I could think about for days and days. So by the time I got done, this was very perfect for a kid that's colorblind, because my bicycle had like at least 6 different colors on it, I'm sure of that. But I remember I made one. The back tire was big, the front tire was a little bit smaller, and didn't work very well. But I was able to ride it. And then I had this really crazy idea. I thought, you know what? I've always wanted a motorcycle. So I remember, I thought, I had no motor. All I had were these old electric motors that were in my dad's shop. So I put this electric motor. I found a way to bolt together a bunch of metal, put the chain on this pulley, and I had a wonderful electric bicycle for about 100 feet. And then the cord came unplugged. And that was my motorcycle. And it actually worked twice. And then it broke. But that's what I pursued early on. I remember that really well. And I remember one time, too, in my dad's garage, I was always looking for something to tinker with. I loved working with my hands. So I found this old mixer, electric mixer, that I thought, man, my dad must have got this on one of his many auction sale trips. And so I thought, I'm gonna fix this thing. So I put my hand in the beater like this, and I had the cord in the other hand. And I was sure that the thing didn't work, but I thought, I'm going to pursue and fix this thing. So I plugged it in, and it worked. And my fingers were wrapped up inside this beater. And the thing was buzzing, my fingers hurt, and I didn't have enough brains to unplug the other end of it. For at least, I think it went on for at least a couple minutes, and then I realized, oh yeah, all I have to do is unplug it. Those are the things I chased after as I was a kid. I remember my mom one time told me, or asked me one time when she was much older, she asked if I ever regretted growing up poor. And I said, Mom, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I didn't. I had no idea. I had everything that I could possibly want. I don't remember chasing after much of anything other than little goofy little projects like that. But as I was preparing this message, I thought, you know, people chase after, they pursue a lot of things in this life. Some people want to be the best at something. Maybe they pursue money, or they pursue fame, or they pursue a career. It's, a lot of those things, it's not bad in and of itself. They pursue love. They pursue being accepted. They pursue a whole lot of stuff. And I wonder how many of you, if I asked you the question this morning, how many of you, if I asked you, what do you pursue in life, you would say, righteousness. I am pursuing righteousness. Well, my thought as I was thinking about all of this, I thought, you know, if we aren't pursuing something, then we're just wandering. We just really are. We're just wandering. When I first read that verse that Denise, one of the verses, it's 15 verse 9 that she read. When I first read that verse many years ago, I remember wondering, well, what about Romans 3:10? Which says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. So I thought, okay, they can't both be right, right? We're told to pursue it, and then we're also told that no one is righteous, not even one. But the truth is, from according to God's word, there's a lot more to the story. And as Paul Harvey used to say, what did he used to say? When we come to the end of this, we're going to say, and now you know the rest of the story. So what is righteousness? That's a question we need to ask ourselves, because if we're going to pursue it, we got to know what we're chasing after, right? We need to know what are we chasing after? What does Scripture tell us about righteousness that is so important? Righteousness is often translated as divine holiness. That's what I've heard many times. I thought, man, how can I pursue that? I am so broken. I am so imperfect. But 1 Peter 1:16 tells us that, for it is written, be holy as I am holy. Just two verses earlier in verse 14, and Peter says, first of all, he says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, or when you didn't know Christ, in other words. Then in verse 15, he says, be holy in all your conduct, in everything that you do. Or in other words, don't conform to the world, don't conform to yourself, your old sin nature. Don't pursue those things, pursue righteousness. One of the best definitions of righteousness that I have ever found is this. It's the condition of being acceptable to God as made possible by God. The condition of being acceptable by God as made possible by God. Scripture is right in Romans 3:10 when it says, there's no one righteous, not even one. Absolutely none of us are righteous on our own. God's standard, not the world's, not yours, not mine. We often look at our lives and we come up with our own standard. The world is really good at that right now. But God's standard is what defines true righteousness. And it's because of Jesus Christ that you and I can become righteous. The only reason that we can be righteous is because God is the author of it. And he is righteous, and he made the way for us to become just like him. Nothing we can do, nothing we can make, nothing we can pursue by ourselves on our own. Doesn't matter how many good things we do. If you are without Christ, you are not righteous. You never can be, and you never will be. That's Scripture. And Scripture goes on to say that a heart that is right with God will pursue righteousness. It will result in a life that bears righteous fruit. We read that in John 15:1-5, and Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine. My Father's a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So Jesus goes on to say, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. There's no one righteous, no, not one. It must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus finishes with, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Doesn't say that you might. It says you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can't do one single thing. There is no one righteous, not even one. Satan loves to tell us, however, that we are sinners and there's no way we could have any, there could be no good in us. And oftentimes we mistake this broken humility that we come up with in our own mind that we make, and we begin to say, I'm not worthy, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve forgiveness, I don't deserve grace. And what's crazy is that it's true, but it's also not true. I think, how can that possibly be? Isn't that a contradiction? Those thoughts, those things that creep into our mind, it's like Satan's playground. It really is. He loves to deceive our hearts and minds. He loves to tell us, you are not worthy, you have sinned too much. But Jesus' work on the cross tells us something totally different, and that's the other part of this. Something more complete, something that was finished at the cross. Nothing that we did. Nothing that we can add to. And in our human minds, we can't know all that Jesus did on the cross. We can't even begin to wrap our mind around it. The perfect completeness of his work on that day is more perfect than we could ever imagine. But I've heard it be said before of two truths that we can know, that we can grab a hold of, that we can know without a doubt from what Scripture tells us. And we can rejoice in these two things. The first thing is this. Jesus took all our sins, past, present, and future. He took it to the cross. He took your sin, he took my sin, and he bore it for us. He paid the debt of it all. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. It's by his wounds, not yours. It's by Christ. The second thing that we are told is that he made the only way for us to become righteous. This is the part that I have struggled with many times in my life. Because he made us righteous, and we are told now to pursue it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This righteousness, I've often heard it called, it's called positional righteousness. Righteous provided for us by Jesus Christ. It's the one time that is so cool that we can say, it's all who you know. Sometimes it is who you know. We are positionally righteous because of Jesus Christ, not of yourself. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. That's positional righteousness. It's because we know Jesus Christ and he knows us. But then we are told to pursue it, which is sanctification. That's what it's all about, right? Jesus made us righteous when he forgave our sins, and he made us righteous before God. At that moment, when I say when God the Father looks at us, he sees his Son. He doesn't see the sin. Forgiveness is complete as far as the east is from the west. Your transgressions, your sins have been removed from you. I know we struggle with that because we can't imagine. Because he goes on even further to say, and I remember it no more. I remember it no more. So first of all, we become righteous. Next, we are in this process, you and I are. If you're still breathing, you're in the process of sanctification. And the third part of that is one day you'll be standing fully redeemed before God the Father. Three parts. Sanctification is really just, it's becoming in practice what we already are positionally. It's becoming what we are positionally in Christ. So to pursue righteousness, it means that we need to recognize that we cannot please God on ourselves by ourselves. We need to refuse ourselves. Crucify the flesh, Scripture calls it. Crucify the flesh. And pursue righteousness. Put on Christ. Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. So if you are not in Christ, there's nothing you can do. There's no one righteous, not even one. We are to turn from trying to justify ourselves, our actions, our feelings. Our feelings can fool us, can't they? Feelings can mess with our minds. It can get us so far off course. If you're passionate about something in this world and you begin pursuing that, I want to caution you, be careful. Because it can pull you off course from pursuing righteousness. Good intentions can still set you off course. Pursuing righteousness means that we desire God to transform our minds. That has to be our focus. Romans 12, 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. What's the pattern of this world? Sin. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are told to put off our old self and put on the new self. Just as Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, our last scripture. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, again, speaking of your sin nature, before you knew Christ, to put off that old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Your old self has deceitful desires. Did you know that? Our tendency is not to pursue righteousness. In our sin nature, our tendency is to do just the opposite. But we are to put that off, and we are to be made new in the attitude of your minds, we're told, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and in holiness. As we've gone through this series, we've talked about being a community of believers. We've talked about wanting to do the right thing as a church. And I'm not talking this building. When we are to pursue righteousness, we are told to walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When you are pursuing righteousness, you will fall deeper in love with Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. And when you pursue righteousness, you're going to become more hungry for the Word of God. When you pursue righteousness, you're going to stand more in awe of God's holiness. It's going to blow your mind how amazing God is when you pursue righteousness. When you pursue righteousness, you're going to see more clearly just how ugly sin is. And you're going to want to have nothing to do with it. You're not going to want to compromise the very thing that God detests. You're going to see the ugliness of sin and want nothing to do with it. When you pursue righteousness, you're going to be absolutely more caught up in humility and thankfulness. Because I think we will better understand then just how much we are being saved from and how much we're being saved for. There's two sides of that that just amaze me. I can't even imagine what hell would be like. My greatest fear of hell would be separated from God. If you think of God taking his hand off the world for one moment and just letting Satan have his way, that should terrify us when we realize the ugliness of sin. Imagine eternity like that. So praise God for forgiveness. Praise God for righteousness. That's all the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with us. Moms and dads and aunts and uncles, grandparents, any of you that have anything to do with raising kids, as Catrice saying, loving my Jesus, there's nothing more than wanting your kids to be doing that. Loving my Jesus, and even knowing your scars, knowing that God took care of all of that just for you. Isn't that the legacy that you want to pass on to your kids? and to your grandkids. There's nothing greater than for me as a grandfather now, or as a dad, to know that my kids, that my grandkids one day will walk in righteousness. I pray they are today, but as they grow, if they are not, that they would pursue righteousness. That they would recognize Jesus for who he is. That they would not be fooled by the world as they pursue emotions or feelings. It can be so deceptive and pull you so far off course. And when it's all been said and done, imagine standing with Jesus as he stands before God his Father and he says, "Dad, this is one of yours. This is your righteousness. This is your prize." Imagine being called that as you stand with Jesus in heaven and being called God the Father's righteousness. The very gift that Jesus brought to us, all of a sudden we become the gift that is given to the Father. I can't even imagine that. And so my hope for you today is that you will love Jesus more, that you will be more hungry for his word, that you will find in your heart just how amazing God is, how holy he is. I pray that you will detest sin in your life, that you'll become more humble and you'll become thankful, and that you will pursue righteousness. And let's pray. Lord, all these things, God, that we just mentioned, that is our prayer for you, for each and every one of us. That is a prayer for our kids, our grandkids. God, those in the next generation of who we want to pass this legacy of faith on to, Lord, may it be about you, Jesus, and not about us. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. Help us to get serious about our faith. About our faith, help us to detest the things you detest and pursue the things that you want us to pursue. Help us to have nothing to do with sin. Help us to have everything to do with you, Lord. Teach us how to love like you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service. Redeemed. Yeah, thank you. Please stand. Let's sing together. And at home, please join us as we sing together. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Sing it out. Child and forever I am. Redeemed. Sin and our debt completely on the cross, Lord, and that you just brought to us, God, this redemption, God, that's waiting for us. God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to realize that our eternity is already in. It's in play. God, when we are in you, that's when eternity starts. And we just pray for that, that you'd guide us, help us to grab onto that, Lord, and to pursue your righteousness. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.